Please be seated. Zacchaeus was a... Oh, thank you. Now, when I was a kid in Sunday school, we loved singing that song. Why? Because when you got to that line in the song that said, "Zacchaeus, you come down," we would shout it so loudly that everybody in the church could hear it, as if Jesus really would have been shouting that loudly at Zacchaeus. Now, you have to feel bad for Zacchaeus in some ways. After all, in the minds of many people, he is simply that wee little man, as if that were his finest quality. But how did Jesus see Zacchaeus? Let's consider that question and think about some different options as we look at our Bible reading for today from Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Thus far, our reading. So yes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. As Luke says, he was small in stature. And on this particular account, that proved to be something that really was important. Because if he hadn't been short, he wouldn't have climbed up in that sycamore tree. And if he hadn't climbed up in the sycamore tree, then he wouldn't have seen Jesus, and more importantly, Jesus wouldn't have seen him. And if Jesus hadn't seen him, he wouldn't have told him that he was going to have a very important guest in his house. And if he hadn't gone to his house, he wouldn't have been able to share some really good news with him. So the fact that Zacchaeus was vertically challenged proved to be important on this particular day, at least. But Jesus didn't only see Zacchaeus as a short man. He also saw him as a rich man. Luke says that he was a chief tax collector. That meant that he had other tax collectors that worked for him, that worked under him. These were the guys that went out and collected up monies from the Jews, part of which were the taxes for the Roman government, but then they also pocketed quite a bit. And the Jews, well, more than despised them. The Jews hated the tax collectors. They thought of them as traitors to their own people. They thought of them as just notorious cheats. They lumped them in with the worst of the worst sinners. So was Zacchaeus all that bad? Or did he just have a bad reputation? Is someone who spends most of his time thinking about money and nice houses and lavish clothes and incredible food and all kinds of creature comforts and getting more and more and more, is such a person all that bad? Now, am I talking about Zacchaeus, or am I talking about us? We greedy people who want to only get more and more money, who want to have the best houses, who want to eat the best food, who think that we have to have the best clothes, that our technology has to be the latest and greatest, who are constantly looking to get more and more, and that we compare ourselves then to our neighbors who don't have as much and think we're better. Are we that bad? If money and material things are in the forefront of your thoughts, then you are not going to be looked upon favorably by Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 19, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And if you don't enter the kingdom of God, there's only one other kingdom that you can enter, and that's the kingdom of Satan, hell itself. Now, it's safe to say that we fit into that category, even if we don't think that we have that much money. Whatever it is that we value more than God, whatever it is we obsess about in our thoughts more than God, means that we are sinners in his eyes. What about Zacchaeus? Did the fact that he was rich make him a sinner in Jesus' eyes? Well, no, it didn't. But what he did with his riches is what was the problem. Now, he knew that he was a sinful man. We don't know the details of the conversation that Zacchaeus and Jesus had, but obviously something had taken place. He had been made aware of his sin and then put his trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of that sin. And that's evident to us by what Zacchaeus said toward the end of the text when he said that he was going to sell everything he had, give half of it to the poor, and restore fourfold to anybody that he had cheated. For such a drastic change in his life to take place, there had to have been something dramatic that had happened. Now, the lesson for us here is not that once we've repented of our sins and put our trust in Jesus, that we have to take a vow of poverty, sell everything we have, go out in the desert and live as a hermit. But are there things getting in between you and your Lord right now? Maybe all you can think about is what you're going to get for Christmas. Maybe you're obsessed right now with your grades, with what your GPA is going to be after this semester. Maybe there's a certain person that's taking up way too much space in your head. Maybe all you can think about is how much money that you're going to have or that you want to have when you retire. If it's in the way, if your relationship with your Lord is affected by it, get rid of it. Now, I know that is much easier for me to say than it is for us to do that. We are hit with so many temptations and temptations to sin every day, and we know that we lose those fights so often. But the same Lord who forgives you when you lose those fights is the same one who has won the battle. He has won the war for you. When he went to the cross, he took on all of your sins on himself. He paid what you owed to God because of them. When he rose from the dead, he was showing that victory was complete, and he was guaranteeing that you someday would rise from the dead. His death, his resurrection, his perfect life for us all prove that he is the ultimate victor, that he has won the war over sin. And so Jesus sees you not just as sinful, but just as he looked at Zacchaeus, he sees you as his child. Now, at the end of the text, Jesus said that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. He made that particular designation for the benefit of the Jews who were grumbling about Jesus eating in the house of a tax collector. Son of Abraham was another way of saying that Zacchaeus was a true child of God, that he was an heir of the kingdom. He was one for whom Jesus had come to this world to save. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, you do realize that includes you, right? Now, in your sin, you are far short of the perfect life that Jesus wants you to live. Your riches, your other worldly cares get in the way and cause you to be seen as a sinner. But the same Jesus who invited Zacchaeus down from that tree, he doesn't just invite you, or he doesn't just come to your house, but he brings you to his house, where he speaks words of comfort, words of forgiveness, where he tells you that you are his child. That's who you are in his eyes. That is your status before God. You are a child of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that status. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Dearest Jesus, our precious Redeemer and Rescuer, we come before you today knowing who we are by nature, sinful, selfish beings who rightly deserve your eternal punishment. But we also come to you knowing that you sacrificed your very life to take away our punishment and to make us your children through faith. Grant that we would always remain with you as your children and keep us patient as we await the inheritance of heaven. In your name we ask these things. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you. Amen.